Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, December 31st. I'm Jackie Orchard. Today on Vox Pop, we are getting in touch with our roots with another gardening show. We welcome two guests, gardener Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery and horticulturist Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery. They're on the line to help you with all of your winter gardening and household plant questions. So use those green thumbs to give us a call. 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. This is always a popular program, so make sure you get your calls in early. You can also email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. But that number again is 1-800-348-2551. Leaf the radio right there. Greg Ward, Bob Graves, and your gardening calls are all coming up on Vox Pop after this news. Hello once again, and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Jackie Orchard, filling in for the Ray Graff. Joining us on the line to answer your gardening questions are gardener Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery and horticulturist Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery. Greg Ward runs Ward's Nursery, a lawn and garden resource in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Bob Graves is a horticulturist and co-owner of Fadigan's Nursery in Latham, New York. He has also been an avid hands-in-the-dirt gardener for 40 years. We welcome your gardening calls at 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. And also, you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Bob and Greg, welcome back to Vox Pop.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
I have to tell you, we're going to kick off the show with a little bit of my personal experience, which is I am a serial plant killer, and maybe maybe you can help me. I've killed every plant I've ever owned. It's nothing personal. I'm just not a gardener. So if I want to give it another shot, what do you think is a pretty impervious indoor house plant that maybe I could get this winter and try to keep alive?
Well, you're looking for something that would be on, sit on the floor or on a table, or what sort of plant are you looking for?
You know, I see on Etsy all the time they're like hanging in front of the windows and they kind of cascade down. That sounds nice.
Well, one of the best ones, there are two that are really easy to grow. One would be pothos or Hartley philodendron. They're both pretty easy. If you have some light, you know, the trick on indoor plants is if you've got some light, you have more options than if you don't have light. That really limits you. And the other thing is you're watering. Those are both plants that don't mind drying out a little bit. They don't want to get bone dry, but they don't want to stay constantly wet. So the question you have to ask yourself sometimes is, do I water too much or do I water too little?
Or do I forget completely and that's my problem? Asking for a friend.
That'll do it.
If you do have a lot of light that, you know, Bob was mentioning, there's a plant called a goldfish plant. They're pretty hard to kill, especially if you tend to forget to water them a little bit. And then there are lots of fun hanging succulents that are pretty tolerant of that as well.
Oh, succulents. I forgot about succulents. You can't kill a succulent, right?
Not easily.
Burrow's tail and a string of hearts. Maybe you want to go for something that Greg's right that doesn't mind getting a little dry.
Well, it's the gardening show today on Vox Pop. We have gardener Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery and horticulturist Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery. We are ready for your calls. They're already stacking up, so get them in now. The number is 800-348-2551. Again, that's 800-348-2551, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Bob and Greg, we already have a lot of calls. I say we just jump right in. What do you think?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we go first to Elizabeth from New Paltz, who actually has two questions. Elizabeth, you're on.
Okay, thanks. I bought roses at the supermarket, and they have some nice flowers on them. I also bought some roses a few weeks ago. There are no flowers on them. After the flowers get done, can I expect more flowers, or is that for the season? That's question number one.
Okay.
The other question is, should I
let's start with the roses. Yeah, we'll do the first one, okay. And then we'll go to the next.
Do you want to do that, Bob?
Yeah, well, the roses you get this time of year are tough because roses need a lot of light. And they have been grown in a greenhouse or they've been grown under lights. And when you bring them home, almost in this part of the world, in the wintertime, there's not enough light, period, because it's cloudy most of the time. You know, look outside today, it's like this a lot, maybe 70 or 80% of the time in the wintertime. And plus, you're inside with these plants. So the hard part is getting them enough light. You put them in a window where you get as much light as you possibly can. Don't overwater them. Keep them a little moist. But I wouldn't expect much in the way of flowers because they need a lot of energy to do that. And without the sunlight, it's a little tough for them to continue flowering in the winter. But they'd survive until the spring when you could put them outside.
Yeah, that's
I have
all.
A lot of...
Oh, well, just that they're going to stay green, and like Bob said, keep them in the brightest spot you have in your house. But you probably won't see flower development again, much of it anyway, before we get closer to spring. And as we get into March, when those days get longer and hopefully less cloudy, they should start to bud up.
All right, Elizabeth, you want to do your second question?
Second question is, back in March, there were a lot of articles in the news about how starting things like broccoli and kale is better to start in March, that the vegetables are sweeter because they produce sugar to keep them from freezing. And I wanted to know exactly how you go about doing that so that you can get that winter garden started at that time of year and get the sweeter vegetables.
Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, boy. So what I think they're really referring to is that the plants themselves will have better flavor when they're growing in cooler weather, more than actually just starting them in cold weather or cool weather. It's really about the plants maturing to harvest in cooler weather. So an early planting in the spring of broccoli or kale or any of those brassicas, crucifer type plants, planting them early as possible in the spring will give you a spring crop, which is probably going to be late May, most likely early June before it's harvestable. And so, yes, you could start your seedlings in late March on any of those plants inside in a warm location, and again, lots of light, a really bright light situation, or you would use some artificial light to supplement, and then you would bring them outside and plant them in the garden when that time was ripe, and that's usually, again, for our area around late April, and of course, you have to do that thing called hardening off, which means when you are ready to plant them outside, you sneak them outside the week before during warm days, let them see some cool, windy weather. If it's going to get cold or freezing, you protect them, maybe bring them in for the night, and you do that a few times before you actually plant them in the planter or the ground that you're going to grow them in.
All right, Elizabeth.
What about microgreens? What about microgreens? Can that be grown now, and where do you get the right seeds for that?
Yeah, microgreens can be grown in at, you know, in 60 degree temperatures inside, again, lots of light, and you could do that. Yes, you could do that right now. You know, most garden centers offer small packages of seeds on the shelf, and they're coming out soon if they're not out already, but I'm sure you can also look around online for those.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you very much for the call. We are talking gardening today. Doesn't matter that it's winter. There's plenty of stuff you can grow. We've got Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery and Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery. The number is 800-348-2551. Again, that's 800-348-2551. And before we go to break here in a few minutes, we have this email from Dick. It says, I have several bulbs left over from my fall planting. Is it too late to plant them? If so, is there a preferred method of doing this without the benefit of a spring thaw? Many thanks. And that's from Dick.
Mm. Boy, I don't know about where you are, Greg, but the ground's really not frozen very much right now. I think if I had them, I'd get them in the ground.
Yep. They can go right in today. You want to, you know, put them at the proper depth, which usually is four or 5 inches of soil on top of the point part of the bulb, the top of the bulb. And then I would add, in addition to that, another 2 or 3 inches of some mulching material, you know, actual mulch would be fine to sort of keep that place from freezing up too quickly. And I think they'll be fine, right? Right, Bob?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're lucky. It's not always this time of year that you can get in the ground, but you certainly can now. I'd get right on it, though, because it's going to freeze up sooner or later.
Yes, yes.
All right, fair enough. And I think we can do one more email before we go to break. This one is from Sandy, and she wants to know about poinsettias. She says, what is happening to poinsettias this year? My one-year-old and my brand-new one are each losing a lot of leaves. I have kept them for many years and don't think I am doing anything different. I let the old ones branch out and have many small blooms. Thank you. That's from Sandy.
Well, boy, poinsettias are a touchy crop. They can drop leaves for a lot of reasons. Typically, it's because they're either too wet or too dry. So you need to, you know, make sure you're keeping them evenly moist. They don't like to get real dry. They don't like to stay real wet. They do like a really bright spot if they can stay somewhere where they're getting some sunlight. And of course, as I said before, we don't have much this time of year. They're hard to keep from year to year. I mean, you got to cut them back and put them outside in the summer and bring them in. They have to have a dark period where they go through natural day length in the fall. Well, there's a lot of things that can go wrong with those, don't you think, Greg?
Yeah, I do. And so I think that if they were doing that, if these are some that they've been carrying, you know, through the year and bringing back around, then there was some change, even though they don't think anything changed. Something was a little different this year. Either the plant is in a smaller pot. In other words, the plant is bigger than it was last year, and that means the watering frequency might change. And then temperature, too. So if it was kept outside for a while and then in a brighter spot, and then brought inside, which is a darker spot, that will certainly make the leaves drop a bit as well. And as long as you have some newer leaves on top, you know, that are green and growing, the plant is still certainly going to be viable. And if it hasn't, you know, budded up already, it should be starting to color up by now, I would think, even if you didn't do the light control.
It is the gardening show on Vox Pop today. We have Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery and horticulturist Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery. We have plenty of calls and emails stacking up, and I promise we will get to them right after this break. It's the gardening show on Vox Pop today, hosted by me, the world's worst gardener, Jackie Orchard. But luckily, we have some experts, Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery and Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery. The number is 800-348-2551. If you haven't called yet, now's a great time, 800-348-2551. And Bob and Greg, we have this email. It's from Doreen. She says, thanks so much for doing these shows. I live in Greene County near Catskill, New York. What is the best time of year to prune a ginkgo tree? And do you have any other suggestions about this? And also maybe start us off with, what is a ginkgo tree?
Well, ginkgo is one of the oldest historical trees in the world. It's been around for ages and ages, and it's a wonderful tree. Relatively slow growing, but long lived, magnificent. It's a beautiful tree. Now, in terms of pruning, you know, the rule of thumb I like with pruning is to trim when something is not in its most active growth. So, not in, say, April, May, early June, but in a period of growth, not active growth. So, that would typically be summertime. Now, the thing with trimming a deciduous plant like that is sometimes it's nice to trim it when it doesn't have any leaves on it because it's easier to see what you're doing. So I'd rather not do things, and I'll see if Greg agrees, in the fall, but yeah, you could do it early in the spring before it leaves out. You think, Greg?
Yeah, if it's a small tree, in other words, they get big, as you said, Bob, they get very big, but if it's something you're going to do yourself and it's just a controlling the leader, there's a double leader, and you want to just make one cut, I think before it leaves out would be fine, and maybe a little closer to spring. But that's all I'm really suggesting. That I don't believe they have an issue with bleeding that I know of, that which is when the sap would just really flow out of the tree in the spring, like a sugar maple or a birch would do. And so I think a light pruning would be fine. And if it's a really large tree, you know, if Fred was here, he'd say call an arborist.
Yeah. All right,
Bob and Greg. Well, we have Tony from Wilton who has been waiting for about 20 minutes. What do you say we get to Tony's call?
Okay.
Tony, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I have a unplanted bulb question. I have Allium Globemasters, and I'm up in Wilton, and we still have about 8 inches or 6 inches of snow on the ground, so I can't plant those bulbs. How can I overwinter them?
Well, I wouldn't be sure that you can't. If you've got snow cover on the ground, if you scoop some of that away, it may very well be that the ground's not frozen underneath. That'd be the first thing I'd try. And then you can take bulbs that are what we call fall bulbs that flower in the spring. You can pot those up, but then you want to put them somewhere where it's cold, not necessarily outside where they're totally exposed, but maybe somewhat protected in an unheated structure. But they need the winter, and they need to be in soil, so they're growing those roots during the course of the winter. Right, Greg?
Yeah. So you'd want to, and also the alliums, those are big. Goldmaster is a big bulb, you know, good sized bulb. So you'd want a fairly tall pot, a 7-8 inch tall pot, and get that bulb actually, you know, 2/3 of the way down from the top. So only a third or so of soil at the bottom, so that they are pushing through a lot. And then, as Bob said, you want to keep it cold, but you want to protect it. I always like to say that bottom step on the stairwell from the outside to your basement is a cold spot, but not usually freezing, and it sort of mimics being under the frost, and it works out pretty well. But also, just if you've got a few of them and you're pushing them together, and then adding again some kind of mulching material, and literally burying the pots in a little pile in a dark corner, maybe on the north side of your garage or your house, would also do the same thing. And then just remember, when everything thaws, to go find them and then plant them out in the spring. They'll probably emerge, you know, around the 1st of May, but you could be planting them before that. But I really do think what Bob said is true, that if you got that foot of snow, I bet you the ground is actually somewhat workable, and you might want to consider that if you know where your garden is.
We're talking gardening today on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. That's 800-348-2551. And we go now to Bob in Broad Alban. Bob, you're on.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I'd like to do some indoor starter plants. I'd like to know if I can go to the supermarket and buy some black seedless grapes or other grapes that are seedless. Can I take the stems with branches and use Rutone and put them in some potting soil and start them indoors? I'd like to do the same thing with strawberries, diffused strawberries, blackberries, and raspberries, blueberries. Can I do that?
Okay. So I would say that the stems that you get on grapes probably would not be viable, that they have been picked too long and are too they're too desiccated, too dry to really sprout. And it's actually not the wood of the plant that they give you. They've picked that, and it's just the stem from the fruiting body. So I don't think you're going to be successful there at all. You do need an actual branch of the plant. I've never seen raspberries or strawberries where they've given you parts of the plant in the supermarket, but if they do, those strawberries would be pretty easy to root if you get a little leaf and a little stem.
All right, Bob, how does that sound?
Yeah, it's really hard to do that sort of thing. And again, you don't have when you're doing propagation, you really need a particular part of the plant. You need it at a particular time of year. If you look up propagation of any particular thing, they're going to tell you how to do that. It's not easy, and you don't really have anything viable there, as Greg indicated. It's not the way to go.
I mean, looking around for some, you know, maybe some friends have some raspberries or blackberries, and if you, again, the ground probably isn't too frozen. If you wanted to to take a section, just dig up a little piece with some root and put that in a pot, that would be fun. But you can just wait until spring, because that's when the best time to do it would be.
Yep.
All right. It's gardening on Vox Pop today. We have Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery and Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery. And we go now to Robin in Saratoga Springs. Robin, you're on.
Well, thank you very much. I have two short questions. One is an interior and one is an exterior question. The first one has to do with orchids. Do you handle orchids?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, fine. They're in full bloom, and I had them in the basement with a great deal of light, and I began to notice that some of the roots were beginning to turn a little bit brown, and I was concerned that they were drying out. So I brought them upstairs to my garden room, which has radiant heat, and I put pots or containers with water in it to try to raise the humidity. The humidity is about, it varies somewhere between 30 to 47% humidity. So I wonder, should I raise the humidity and should I use a sprayer, some kind of sprayer to increase the humidity?
No, I'm going to assume that these are Phalaenopsis or moth orchids.
They're the easiest ones to grow.
I've been in Hawaii and gone to orchid growers, and there was an enormous sign in one of the places I went that said, to grow orchids, it's best to use benign neglect. Don't fuss with them too much. Now, in terms of your question with humidity, yeah, put them on a tray, not sitting in water, but put them on a tray where there's water going to evaporate, and that creates an envelope of humidity around them. When a plant seriously needs to be misted, it needs to be on an automatic system, so it comes on all the time. You can mist it every now and then. It's not going to make that much difference. When you see them growing in the tropics, they're growing in these trees, and there's this mist in the air all the time. But Phalaenopsis don't need that. They're pretty easy to get along with. And the roots will change color a little bit, and then they'll start to grow out of the pot and turn brown. And that's okay. But, yeah, an envelope of humidity is a good thing. What they need to reflower is usually a drop in temperature in the fall. But they're pretty easy. Just, don't water them too much and use that envelope of humidity. What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, I think that sounds great. The, those brown roots could simply be just some of the older roots that have cycled out. And though, because it's in full bloom now, you certainly don't want to change a whole lot. I think the humidity, the little bath is perfect. But once they're done blooming, especially if you've had them for over a year, it's not a bad idea to repot them. So they're completely finished blooming, that you just have leaves, no spikes are coming up, and this is often a spring or summer project. And you take them out, you actually remove everything, all the material that's attached to the roots, whether it's a sphagnum moss or it's a bark mix, and then you cut out all of those obvious old dead root roots, and you there'll be plenty of new ones, and you repot it in a fresh medium, whichever one it was in is usually not a bad idea to use the same one.
Yeah, if those roots are not dried out yet, they're still absorbing moisture from the air. They're called air roots, and that's what they do in the trees, is they just put these things out and absorb it from the air. So Greg's right. When they get kind of dried out and look like they have no viability, you take them off. But before that, they're actually doing something.
Robin, did you have another question?
Oh. Yes, just one short question, if I may.
Sure.
I planted a group of rhododendrons, azaleas, fruit trees on my property in very excellent compost, and they're doing just fine and have apparently no difficulties this winter. But I'd like to fertilize them for the coming year. And I have plant spikes. I also have a chemical fertilizer, which I really don't wish to use because I'm afraid I'm going to burn the root. So what would you suggest to fertilize these kind of...
I think both of us would like to see you use an organic fertilizer. Yeah. Something that's permanently plant and animal based rather than the chemical ones. You're right. A lot of chemical ones are fine, but some of them are pretty hot in the sense that they release very quickly. I don't use spikes too much, particularly on young plants, because if you get them too close to that real concentration of roots in the root mass, you can burn them.
Yeah, so right. Well, the alternative, you can take those spikes and turn them into a loose fertilizer. I know it sort of defeats the whole purpose of that shape, but you can just, you know, put them in a bag and break them up and use them as a loose fertilizer if that's what you would prefer to do. That said, if you...
The first answer I would prefer to do, I get compost and I make my own. Should I just add more compost on top of the tree roots?
Compost mulch, you know, a 2-inch layer usually is more than adequate around all of the plants, and you can go as wide as you want, but, you know, 2 or 3 feet would not be unreasonable, and you could do that today if there's no snow out there.
Oh, yes, well, that's a little bit difficult at the moment, but all right. What about manure? What about rotted manure?
All right, last question, Robin.
Yeah, it's the same, thing that Greg's saying. It's a compost, but not too deep. You know, you don't want to bury things too deep. A couple inches would be the most, and that would be great. And at some point, with those plants in particular, you may want to check the pH, because sometimes those composts have a high alkalinity, and you may need to acidify it.
Robin, thank you very much for the call. We've been with you so long, I feel like you're part of the show now. But today is the gardening show on Vox Pop. We've got tons of calls. Gardener Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery and horticulturist Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery. Quick question before we go back to the phones. If you have a houseplant, and again, asking for a friend because obviously I don't have a houseplant, but if the leaves are all brown and dead on one side, but the other half is green and kind of hanging by a thread, how do you bring that plant back to life? And does maybe cutting away some of the dead leaves, does that help at all?
Yeah, what I'd want to do, almost without question, when you're working with a houseplant and something's not going right, you need to knock it out of the pot and see what the roots look like. And my guess is if part of it's deteriorated, those roots are probably rotted. So you would clean that out, take that apart, maybe you repot it into something smaller so that it's not staying too wet. That's my guess. That's what we see most of the time, is overwatering. It could be physical damage, but I'd need to get it out of the pot and look at the roots to know what to do on that.
And if the roots are rotted, do you cut them off?
Yeah, you take the bad ones out, kind of pull them apart, and sometimes it seems weird to say, but you put something in a smaller pot, because if it's in too big a pot, you can never get it to dry out.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm with you. We're doing gardening today, and we've got lots of people waiting on the phones, and so now we will go to Paul, who's been waiting for quite a while. Paul, you're on.
Hey, no problem. I don't mind waiting. Happy New Year, folks.
Happy New Year.
I have a problem with some hydrangeas I have. I have 2 hydrangeas. They're mostly in the sun. I've had them about 5 years. They grow green leaves constantly, no issues with that. But other than when I bought them in a pot and they had blue flowers, I have never been able to get them to flower again. I've tried protecting them with burlap in the winter. I've tried a million things. I don't know what to do.
My guess is you've got a macrophylla-type hydrangea. I had the blue flowers, bought it in a pot, and it's a variety that's not fully hardy this far north. The plant is hardy, but the buds aren't. The old variety years ago that we had was called Nico Blue, and I had one, and it grew great and wonderful leaves and hardly ever flowered. It's just they're not quite hardy enough, you think, Greg?
Oh, for sure. It's a real dilemma because everybody wants that blue hydrangea, you know, and you go to slightly warmer areas, you know, for us it's Cape Cod or the, you know, Connecticut Shore, Long Island, and there they are doing great things. But all you have to do is just move up into our zone where it's a little colder and it becomes kind of tricky. Lots of new varieties coming out that are touted as hardy, and we are continuing to sort of trial them, and some are getting better. Some of the lace cap types, the ones that don't have the round mop head flower or pom-pom, but it's a flat flower, do much better and do rebloom. But the one you have now, we probably would say, I think Bob would agree, that you might want to replace that if you're looking for color.
Yeah. Rip it out and put one of the new ones in.
I'll keep it for the green, but maybe lace cap, you said, was the one I should look at? Maybe?
Yeah, look at any of the newer varieties that are considered a lace cap flower, which is a sort of flat, top flower, flat panicled flowers.
There's a lot of new ones that are much, much better than the older varieties.
All right, Paul, thank you very much for the call. It is the Gardening Show on Vox Pop today. Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery, Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery. We've got plenty of calls and emails to get to, and we will right after this break. And we're back to the Gardening Show on Vox Pop today. We've got Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery and Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery. The number is 800-348-2551 for your gardening calls. That's 800-348-2551. These calls, the queue is just completely filled, so I'm going to knock out an email, and then we're just going to zip through as many of these calls as we can. How does that sound, guys?
All right.
All right, so this email is from Emily. She says, I have two winterberry bushes at the drier edge of our swampy area. It gets mixed sun exposure, more afternoon sun. One female, one male bush. Got them from Ward's, and they told me to do that, but got no berries this year despite growing well. Thought maybe it was birds, but don't even remember seeing any young berries. Might I need to relocate them? If so, when would be best, or is there another possible issue? And that's from Emily.
Well, first of all, definitely, Emily, if you want to give us a call or email, that we can work through it some more. But I would first say, was it this year that you got them? And so if they were planted this spring, they may not have pollinated because they were not in sync with their bloom. However, if they were from the year before, then we still may have a pollination issue. I don't think it's a light issue. I don't think it's a soil cultural issue. I do think we need to talk about maybe some of the other details. So if you want to email us or call us, we can do that.
And I can, I've got her email, so I'll link you two up after the show.
Great.
That's no problem.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
thanks.
Absolutely. So let's get to some of these calls. Who do we got here? It looks like Ryan has been waiting for about half an hour, so... Ryan from Berkshire County, you're on.
Afternoon. My question or questions or seeking advice comes about rosemary and growing it in a pot and how to overwinter it. I had a pretty mature rosemary bush, just lack of communication between my girlfriend and I. We rotted the roots, and it's no longer with us. I recently bought one of the Christmas tree-shaped rosemary bushes from a supermarket. It seems pretty healthy. I took it out of the pot. The roots look good. They're not bound up at all. And we've been watering it by just spraying it with a spray bottle once or twice a day, and not trying to saturate the soil, as that was the demise of the other one. So just really looking for tips other than it's in the window that gets the most light in the house. Other than that, just really tips for watering rosemary when it will not be going in the ground. It'll be permanently a potted plant.
I like what you're doing now works really well for the winter. If the plant is somewhat, as well rooted, that means repotting it would not be a good idea now, because that change is never helpful at this time of year. And not adding much of any water to the root ball, I might reconsider adding a little bit, but by misting it, watering it by misting it works really well for rosemary, especially if, as you said, they're in a nice sunny location. And you can do that well through the winter, well into March. And then at some point the days get longer and warmer, and you might want to start watering from below a little bit. Anything you want to add to that, Bob? The only thing I was going to say before I do it.
Again, it's tough with some of these things that like a lot of light, because as we said several times, there isn't a lot of light this time of year, even if it is in a bright window. So all you're trying to do is keep it alive. You're not looking for it to really do a lot this time of year. So you're right. The misting is the way. You got to keep the soil a little moist. You don't want to keep it soaking wet. but that helps to just let it kind of sit there and not try to do too much.
And I just was going to add, one of the things that can be an issue with them, especially if the soil has been wet for a while, is powdery mildew, which is that white material, that dusty material that forms on the leaves. And by keeping the root ball dry but missing the plant, actually that does limit the ability for that to occur. But if you see any of it, if you see any of it at all, you could make that misting bottle a cold chamomile tea. So you'd make the tea, of course, hot first, let it cool down, and use that as your misting bottle. Chamomile tea works really well as a antifungal agent.
All right, Ryan, thank you very much for the call. And we go right to Eric in South Troy. Eric, you're on.
Hi, 1 second. I'm running across. Sorry. I was on the other side of the room.
Okay.
We just got a Meyer lemon tree sent to us from relatives in California, maybe just to make us jealous. But it's only about 2 feet tall, and I'm a little worried about, I want it next to the window so it gets good light, but also next to the window means that it's getting some, coldness occasionally. And so I was just wondering if you guys have any advice on how to insulate it better, and also I was wanting if you have any advice on pruning or soil pH and things like that.
Again, light is the issue with these. It's a plant that grows outside, and you're keeping it inside, mm-hmm. and you're keeping it inside in a dark part of the world. I'm not too worried about the cold as long as the room is heated. We get worried when the greenhouses get 50, 55 degrees. So if it's staying in the, 60, 70 range, I think you're fine.
It's okay then.
Yeah. They don't like to be constantly soaked. You want to water them, let them dry out a little bit. And I don't know, Greg, I don't think I'd be fertilizing much this time of year, would you?
I wouldn't. I don't think any fertilizer. Really do think, keeping in mind that it's not to the extreme as the rosemary we just talked about, but it is best to keep them slightly on the dry side, which means you're watering them when the root ball feels dry, but not so that it doesn't stay constantly moist. That makes a big difference. I've found that a nice east window right up next to the window, and my windows are fairly tight, but it's an old house. They're a little bit leaky, and everything works out fine. The pruning part is really only necessary once it starts growing, and once they do start growing, they do kind of have this sort of crazy spurt that will make it look like all the whole tree wants to go onto this one branch and leave everything else behind. So when you start to see that, and again, probably not right away, once we get into some longer days, it will start to happen. Don't be shy about cutting that supple green growth right in half just to keep the shape of the plant.
All right, Eric, thank you for that lemon tree call. A follow-up question for Eric. If his lemon tree isn't getting enough light, are there special kinds of lamps that he can set up that'll keep it going, or does it not work that way?
Well, you can. Artificial light is great. It has to be fairly close, so you use fluorescent or LED type light. Incandescent is too hot. If it's near the plant, it'll burn it. But yeah, any kind of supplemental light you can offer this time of year is great.
It's like those happy lights for humans. You can get one for your plants.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have an email here from Terry. She says, or he, I'm not sure. Can I bring my lavender, rosemary, and tarragon in from the garden and pot them for the windowsill? And that's from Terry.
Yeah. So I do that every year. Not all of those things, but the rosemary. And I will have to admit that it often does not make it. And part of that is that it's because it's been growing in the ground for a while. There's a lot of the root mass is wider than it would be normally. And so take it up and put it in the pot. There's some disturbance that happens. But also, if you do it too late in the season, that the plant is either, if it is still alive, the top is still alive, the shock of that is a little disruptive, again, specifically for rosemary. Again, it seems late, but if the lavender, if you dug that up and put it in a pot and brought it in, it would probably start to grow It is a hardy perennial, and the same with the tarragon.
We're talking gardening on Vox Pop today, and there's still time to call if you want to get your question in. 800-348-2551. That's 800-348-2551. We go now to Jesse and Troy. Jesse, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I, for the last couple of years, have been pruning some big, old, ancient apple trees, trying to get them in some semblance of shape. And last time I did it in, like, late February, and I'm wondering, you know, I know you said earlier that the optimal time to prune for the ginkgo was when it was growing. I thought for apples you do it when they're dormant. But anyway, right. I'm wondering, if it is when they're dormant, can I just do that now, or do I need to wait until closer to spring to start that process?
Ideally, closer to spring. If you watch the orchard people, that's when they're doing it. And trimming an apple tree is really an engineering question, not an aesthetic question. You're trying to get strength. So you take off a lot of the little stuff, so you don't want to have an excess of apples that cause weight that may cause it to break. I don't think I'd do it now, though, Greg, would you?
I've read a lot of things about apples and pears in particular, and when is the best time to prune them. And I have actually read that early winter or late fall pruning is something that some people recommend. And if they're established trees, I think, you know, you could look into that a little bit, but that I don't think that those two types of trees would have a problem. I've also read about summer pruning, and I think we've even talked about that, so that sometime in July it's a little difficult because you have a lot of foliage, but by getting up there to one of the problems with renovating an old tree is there's so much to take out, you're not supposed to take it all out at once. You know, you have to take, you do it over the course of a few years to bring them back to some semblance. So, but if you do summer pruning and spring pruning or winter pruning, then you're kind of getting, you know, two bangs for the buck that way.
And I have to say that I've pruned things at a time when I shouldn't have pruned them. And it doesn't usually seem to hurt them.
Yeah.
Especially trees like that are really tolerant, really hardy. You could probably do it most any time and get away with it, other than when they're in their period of most active growth in the spring.
We're doing gardening on Vox Pop today. The number is 800-348-2551. That's 800-348-2551. The lines are almost loaded right now, so I would call now if you have a burning question. Bob and Greg, I actually read this morning that a lot of vegetables like kale and Brussels sprouts taste better after having been exposed to frost. So why would that be?
The sugars, you know, in the plant are affected by that temperature and are forming because of that change in temperature. So that's really, we're talking about end of season frost. We're talking about fall.
Right.
You know, and earlier that he was talking about spring. It's kind of tricky in the spring to have a crop at that point. I was going to say on pruning, most of the time I'm a lazy pruner, so I don't get my pruning done till April. I just wanted to make sure, you know, people didn't think I was out there pruning in November.
Hmm.
You can do it, I think, but I'm just, you know, April's fine too.
Yeah, we don't want to incite any angry pruning riots. You'll have people picketing out front. We go now to Chris in Housatonic. Chris, you're on.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions. Can you grow, like, limes in the Northeast? And also, could you grow some tropical fruit in the Northeast? And my last question is, where can you find black garlic around in the stores?
Well, to get to your first question, the tropical fruits can be put outside in a pot in the summertime and then brought in the house in the winter. If they freeze, they die. They can't be left outside over the winter, of course. And the same issue applies to we've been talking all along here, is that they need a lot of light. So you may, if you really want to do it well, you got to have a big, bright window or some supplemental light in the winter. Well, I'll let you take the garlic question.
I don't know where you can get it in the store, but there's a fella who does a show with you guys.
Yeah,
Jackie.
I hosted that show, the garlic show. I don't remember his name, if that's where this is going. And I'm really sorry.
So he is, I'm just going to look it up, see if I can find something in a few minutes. Like maybe we can announce that. I'll try to do that.
I'll add it to our Vox Pop web post for today. So we'll be able to find that later on WAMC.org. All right, so we have lots and lots of questions still to get to. I think now we go to Barbara in Niskayuna. Barbara, you're on.
Yes, Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year.
Question is there a way to make poinsettias bloom in the summer?
No, they're what are called a short day plant, and they bloom when the days are getting shorter. They're timed by light, and I suppose, you know, you could force anything, but it would be very difficult to do because you'd have to put them in a room that got lots of sun during the day and then absolutely no light at night. If you turn a light on in a room when you have a poinsettia that you're trying to get to bloom, that messes up the photo period. So it's difficult. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it would take quite a lot of effort to do that.
All right, there's only 4 minutes left before I have to close out the show, so we're going to do what I call lightning round, and we're going to go to Shelley in Saugerties. Shelley, you're on. Quick like a bunny.
Oh, great. So exciting. So I seem to have started myself on a new hobby. Under light, I started wildflower seeds that belong outside, and I started them inside. And I have petunias and morning glory, so I'm creating a whole miniature world with flowers, and when the wildflower mixtures come up, and a bunch of flowers have come up that I can't identify, so that's one issue. But the biggest issue I see is bugs.
So how to get rid of bugs? Okay.
When you're taking plants that are, you know, normally outdoors and you are growing them indoors, and especially if you're not using a sterile potting soil, you can get bugs. Bugs will happen.
Shelley, are you saying buds like rose buds, or are you saying bugs
insects? No, bugs.
B-U-G.
This is my life now. Bugs.
Oh, creepy crawly bugs. Okay, I just want to make sure.
Well, you know what? There's the little ones that attach to the stem, like scales.
Are those aphids?
Probably aphids, yeah.
I saw a bug's life. That's right.
And then I put on my magnifying glass, and there's little tiny white ones that unless you're using magnification, you would never know that they were a bug.
Yeah.
Okay, we have 30 seconds to answer the bug question.
So Bob mentioned a thing called insecticidal soap. It's a sort of, kills every little bug, and it's organic, so you can do it in your house. It's not going to hurt anything, and you might want to look into that.
Okay, I'm going to go to Marie, but Marie, you have to promise me this is going to take 30 seconds. Marie, you're on, really quick.
Hi, I have a wonderful aconitum plant. Last year bloomed beautifully, 5 feet tall or taller. This year, very difficult, not nearly as good looking, and darkening leaves from the bottom up.
Okay.
Problem?
What type of plant was it?
Aconitum, monkshood.
Oh, monkshood. I'll let you take that one.
So we really would need to see some photos when it was, failing there. It certainly could have been affected by, as we just discussed, an insect. There is a mite that can affect the foliage and would eventually leave the leaves black, but the first leaves kind of curl. It might be something to talk about, if you wanted to email us that question or give us a call at Ward's Nursery, we could review that a little bit more because we would need a little more information.
All right. Well, that sounds like a great place to stop to me. We're just about out of time, but I want to thank everyone who called in and apologize to those left on the line. There's quite a lot of you. I'd also like to thank our gardening experts, Bob Graves and Greg Ward, for another great show. Support for Vox Pop comes from Curtis Lumber, specializing in kitchen design with cabinets from Wellborn and Marilat, and quartz countertops from Cambria. American-made products sold locally, curtislumber.com, and the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, supporting our community with a temporary closure and continuing to explore art and ideas online. For projects and resources, skidmore.edu/Tang. Thank you again for joining us today on Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Hi, Zach. Jordan Yoxall took your calls. I'm the producer of Vox Pop and your host today, Jackie Orchard. There is no show tomorrow. Instead, we want you all to relax and have a wonderful new year. Stay tuned now for the Capital Connection.